Hello, this is Janice Schweizer with the Pantograph for Tuesday, November 3rd, 2020. We'll begin today with the headline article, The Big Day. Heading to the polls, here are some things to know. This is by Annalisa Trofimuk. In a year like no other, it's been an election like no other, full of surging mail-in ballot requests and new COVID rules at polling places. But despite thousands casting ballots in early voting, it still all comes down to this, Election Day, the big day. And this may only be the beginning. More than 93 million Americans have already cast ballots, the product of a coronavirus concern and the contentious presidential election. Illinois voters also get a crucial decision to change Illinois' income tax system from a flat rate to a graduated structure. What will Election Day look like? Here are 10 details about what to expect on Tuesday. When is voting? Polling places are open 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. Tuesday. You can still cast your ballot after the polls close, so long as you were in line when they closed. Where do I vote? On Election Day, you can only vote at your assigned polling site. State officials have a polling place lookup website and an online database for all Illinois election boards, which voters can use to check their polling places. McLean County residents who did not cast an early ballot in person or by mail may find their polling place through the County of Bloomington Election Commission websites. Visit pantograph.com for more information. What safe rules are there? This year will be just a little different because we will have a sanitizer person and then a screener at the door, said Regina Bell, who will be completing her 8th general election. Bell has worked at several polling places and will serve as the lead judge at Heartland Church, one of several polling locations throughout Normal. Other measures include masks and signage. Those were established long before Sunday when the State Department of Public Health announced that the region that includes Bloomington Normal would get additional restrictions Wednesday because of rising COVID numbers. What are the key races? Aside from the presidential contest, the U.S. House 13th and 18th district seats are in play, as well as several General Assembly and county contests. And then there's the ballot question that would amend the Illinois Constitution, which has triggered a flood of spending on both sides. That would discard the current income tax system, in which every individual pays the same flat rate, 4.95%, and corporations pay 7%. It would set up brackets like the federal government and 32 other states. The tax rate would increase with income. Visit thepantograph.com to read candidate responses and learn more about races. Do I need ID? If you're already registered to vote in Illinois, you should not need a form of identification at your polling site, but election officials encourage bringing one just in case. Election judges may ask for identification if they challenge your right to vote. You did not prove proof of ID when registering by mail or online, or if you are not listed as registered to vote in the state. If the judges have doubts about your identity because your signature doesn't match the one on record, they could ask for ID, said Matt Dietrich, an Illinois State Board of Elections spokesman. But it takes judges of both parties to do that. If an election judge asks for your ID, you are not required to show one to vote in person. You may cast a provisional ballot without showing your ID. The poll worker should then tell you how you can separately submit proof of registration to your election authority. If election judges tell you that you're not listed as registered and you're sure you did register, make sure they spelled your name correctly. You can give them your address to make sure you're at the right polling place. You can also ask them to call your county elections office. If you're not registered but hope to vote through a standard ballot, you'll need to bring an election judge two forms of identification, one of which must include your current address. You can then register and vote at your polling place. What is a provisional ballot? Provisional ballots allow residents to cast a vote even if their right to vote has been questioned. They're investigated and processed in the 2 weeks after Election Day and kept separate from standard ballots. What if I make a mistake? You're entitled to a replacement ballot. If you want to replace your paper ballot, you can ask an election judge at the voting site to spoil that ballot and you'll receive a new one. If you make a mistake on a mail-in ballot, you can take the ballot to your local polling site and surrender it to an election judge. You'll then be able to vote through a standard ballot. If you've already cast your ballot, there are no take-backs, and it's illegal to vote again. Voting more than once in an election in Illinois is a felony, punishable by 2 to 5 years in prison. What if I want to vote in person but have a mail-in ballot? If you applied and were approved for a mail-in ballot but decide to vote in person instead, you must bring your mail-in ballot with you to your polling place and surrender it to an election official. You'll then be given a standard ballot that you can use to vote in person. How many have cast ballots? Statewide, of the approximately 3.5 million people who have voted early, nearly 1.7 million of them sent mail-in ballots and close to 1.8 million voted in person, according to the State Board of Elections. The vote-by-mail ballots already cast reflect more than 71% of the 2.4 million requests for ballots across Illinois. As of Monday, McLean County and Normal had 11,300 early voters and 15,841 vote-by-mail ballots received. These numbers do not include Bloomington voters, which are recorded by the Bloomington Elections Commission. Among the early voters was Anu Adjibani, 21, a health major at Illinois State University, who voted in Normal. Like for all first-time voters, she was greeted with a cheer from the staff. "Your voice can be heard if you have the right person in leadership," Adjibani said. When will we get results? It depends. Nationally, absentee voting amid coronavirus has changed the vote counting timeline, and there aren't uniform practices for counting those ballots. That makes it difficult to predict when certain key battlegrounds, much less a national result, could be called. In Illinois, unofficial results are reported by each of the more than 100 election authorities, such as county clerk's offices, but the government does not compile statewide unofficial results on election night. Visit thepantograph.com for updates throughout election day on vote totals and other information. Next, we have dining rules trigger pushback. Some officials say space use limits will kill bars and eateries, by Kevin Barlow. New state COVID restrictions starting this week have prompted some central Illinois elected officials to call for resisting the new rules, a move that has put them at odds with both the governor and fellow public office holders. As a leader, the mayor, and a seasoned business owner, I will not encourage anyone to violate state or federal regulations, said Normal Mayor Chris Coos. After conversation with the Chamber of Commerce, the Economic Development Council, and other community leaders, I believe the best course of action is to focus on actively working with state and federal leaders to implement a change that allows businesses to remain open. Earlier Monday, Normal Councilman Stan Nord said the town should follow the leads of other area communities, such as Lincoln and East Peoria, and stand up to the governor's mitigation protocols imposed on bars and restaurants. COVID-19 restrictions will go into effect in McLean County at 12:01 a.m. Wednesday, public health officials announced on Sunday. The region has seen a 7-day rolling average test positivity rate of 8% or above for 3 consecutive days, which exceeds the thresholds set for establishing mitigation measures under the state's Restore Illinois Resurgence Plan. For bars and restaurants, restrictions will include no indoor service, all outdoor service ending at 11 p.m., All patrons seated at tables outside and tables 6 feet apart. Meetings and social gatherings are limited to 25 people or 25% of room capacity. Nord said he has heard from a number of bar and restaurant owners. Some are going to stay open until the state shuts them down, he said. They are worried about their employees because if they have to shut down, their employees are not going to get the hours. And if they have to close down long enough, that means they may have to dump inventory. And that means they may not open again because it's expensive to do that. Region 2, which includes Bloomington Normal, was the last public health area to be placed under additional restrictions. Last week, it was announced the regions from Springfield to Quincy and Decatur to Champaign were being added. Pritzker and health officials have said the measures are needed to address surging case numbers. The virus is spreading, and every region of the state is suffering from its insidious, invisible contagion, Pritzker said at his daily COVID-19 briefing in Chicago. Continuing to face criticism from business owners forced to close their dining rooms and bars, Pritzker again outlined grant funding available through the state's Business Interruption Grant Program and money for local governments backed by federal relief dollars. Bars and restaurants whose businesses are slowed by resurgent mitigations are eligible for $270 million in the interruption grants. That's of little comfort to business owners and state lawmakers like Representative Mike Murphy, a Springfield Republican. We cannot program ourselves out of this problem, he said. They all talked about wanting to get back to work and earning income and providing opportunities for their employees. Grants are great short term, but not one person asked me about the availability of grants. Also raising concerns is Lincoln Mayor Tracy Welch, who in a Facebook post said he's adamant that our bars and restaurants cannot withstand another lengthy shutdown, and I will do everything in my power to see that they survive. He said there have been discussions with the police chief and the city, quote, will not take any action against a business that chooses to remain open unless there is a judicial order, close quote. I will not revoke or suspend the liquor license for any establishment that chooses to remain open and serve alcohol, he said. The mayors of East Peoria, Washburn, and Princeton have also pushed back on the new rules. Springfield Mayor Jim Langfelder has also been critical of the measures and has called for an emergency city council meeting on Wednesday evening. He participated in a call last week with mayors from across the state, including Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot, about the mitigations. There was a shared frustration about the lack of reliable data, the mental and emotional stress on impacted business workers and business owners, the legal clarity for enforcing the governor's new order, and the lack of resources to do so, Langfelder wrote in an email. Nord says that restaurants and bars have already been penalized since the beginning of the pandemic. They have not been able to return to full occupancy, he said. There may be some that just don't open again, and it's unfortunate. We have to decide what is more important to us, our local businesses or following the mandates of someone who has already lost in court. We shouldn't be doing this, Nord said. Who do we represent? The citizens and businesses of Normal or a tyrannical governor? The governor faces ongoing legal challenges from Bond County attorney Tom DeVore, who has filed multiple lawsuits against Pritzker, saying he does not have the authority to issue orders for multiple months during the COVID-19 pandemic. Earlier this year, one lawsuit filed by Republican Representative Darren Bailey was ruled in favor of Bailey that Pritzker does not have the authority to extend executive orders past 30 days. The Illinois Restaurant Association is considering a lawsuit against Pritzker. 22 restaurant owners from Sangamon County also filed a suit seeking relief from the latest order. In Lincoln, even if bars and restaurants stay open and won't lose their city licenses, that doesn't mean they are in the clear. Here are a list of some of the COVID restrictions. For bars, they must close at 11 p.m. and reopen no earlier than 6 a.m. the following day. There is no indoor service. All bar patrons must be seated at tables outside. No ordering, seating, or congregating at the bars, so bar stools must be removed. Tables should be 6 feet apart. There is no standing or congregating outdoors or indoors while waiting for a table or while exiting. No dancing or standing indoors. Reservations are required, and no seating of multiple parties at one table. In restaurants, they also must close at 11 p.m. and are not allowed to open until 6 a.m. the next day. There is no indoor dining or bar service. Tables must be 6 feet apart. No standing or congregating. Reservations are required, and no seating of multiple parties at one table. In meetings for social events and gatherings, they are limited to the lesser of 25 guests or 25% of overall room capacity, both indoors and outdoors. There are no party buses, and gaming and casinos must close at 11 p.m., are limited to 25% capacity, and must follow the same mitigations for bars and restaurants. Organized group recreational activities have had no change, and all sports guidance effective August 15th remain in effect. Continuing with COVID information, we have COVID cases up locally. New virus deaths reported in Piatt, LaSalle counties by Paul Sweech. As they prepared for new COVID-19 restrictions to take effect later this week, McLean, Livingston, Woodford, Tazewell, LaSalle, and Marshall counties reported an increase in cases on Monday. Specifically, McLean County reported on Monday 125 new cases since Friday, bringing that county's total to 4,483 since March 19th. Tazewell County reported 197 new cases, meaning that county has had 3,081. Woodford County has 76 new cases, bringing its total to 824. Livingston County reported 63 new cases, including 17 inmates of Pontiac Correctional Center, increasing its total to 840. LaSalle County has 71 new cases, making its total 2,847 cases. And Marshall County reported 11 new COVID positives, meaning 182 people there have been sickened by the virus since March. As the positivity rate in our county and region has increased, we have been open with the public and our community leaders about the urgency of the situation, McLean County Health Department Administrator Jessica McKnight said in an email to the Pantograph. Governor J.B. Pritzker and the Illinois Department of Public Health on Sunday added Region 2, which includes the above-named counties, to the state's regions facing COVID resurgence mitigations. Effective at 12:01 a.m. Wednesday for bars and restaurants, no indoor service will be allowed, all outdoor service will end at 11 p.m., and all patrons seated outside must be at tables 6 feet apart. Meetings and social gatherings are limited to 25 people or 25% of room capacity. Region 2 is facing restrictions because its rolling 7-day positivity rate, the percent of people who have tested positive for the virus in the previous week, exceeded 8% for 3 straight days, pushing it past the threshold for establishing such measures under the state's Restore Illinois Resurgence Plan. Ironically, McLean County's 7-day positivity rate declined from 6.1% on Friday to 5.1% on Monday. That rate had been increasing for several days. The response to COVID-19 is a community effort, McKnight said. It will take all of us working together to move McLean County forward. It is vital that we all keep pressing on and prioritizing public health prevention practices, taking personal responsibility and using the best judgment to make choices to keep ourselves and others safe. Washing our hands, watching our distance, and wearing our face coverings are simple measures we can all take to keep the community safe and show that we care, McKnight said. Of the 101,500 tests of McLean County residents since March, 4.4% have come back positive, unchanged from Friday. 38 county residents have died of the virus since March, including 5 last week. No additional deaths were reported on Monday. 12 McLean County residents were hospitalized with the virus on Monday, 2 fewer than on Friday, and none were in intensive care. The 406 people in home isolation was 12 more than on Friday, but 115 additional county residents have recovered from the virus, as McKnight reported Monday that 4,027 people have been released from isolation. Elsewhere in central Illinois, 2 additional COVID-related deaths were reported on Monday, a LaSalle County woman and a Piatt County woman, both in their 60s. LaSalle County has reported 70 COVID deaths, while Piatt County has had 3. David Remmert, administrator of the DeWitt-Piatt Bi-County Health Department, said neither DeWitt nor Piatt were on the state's COVID warning list. Region 6, which includes those counties, was added to the state's COVID resurgent mitigation list on Friday, with restrictions effective Monday. We cannot advocate for defiance of guidelines established by the state of Illinois, Remmert said. While our local state's attorney's offices have noted the difficulty of enforcing executive orders that were not legislatively developed, Governor Pritzker has indicated that enforcement may occur through the Illinois State Police. Remmert noted that COVID cases are spiking and asked people to refrain from attending social gatherings and events. We've seen multiple school-age birthday parties recently in which a case leads to more than 20-plus close contacts who all had to quarantine, Remmert said. Hospitalizations statewide, health officials reported 6,222 new COVID cases and 20 additional deaths, bringing the state's totals to 423,502 cases and 9,810 deaths. As of Sunday night, 3,371 people in Illinois were hospitalized with COVID, including 722 people in intensive care and 298 on ventilators. The 7-day statewide positivity rate was 8.1%. A Capital News Illinois analysis of weekly hospitalization averages showed the average number of hospital beds used by COVID patients for the week ending Sunday increased by 603, or 24%, from the prior week. There were 3,091 hospital beds in use on average last week, an increase of 55% from 2 weeks prior and 94% from the week ending October 4th. Daily average intensive care bed usage for COVID was up 124 from the week prior, a 23% increase, Capital News reported. ICU bed usage for COVID was up 58% from 2 weeks ago and 70% from the week ending October 11th. Average daily ventilator use for the week ending Sunday increased by 63 from the week prior, a 30% increase. It was a 72% increase from the week ending October 18th. In local news, again, we have Normal Support Local Eateries by Sierra Henry. The town of Normal is working with mayors across the state and the Illinois Municipal League to encourage the state to use broader metrics when evaluating for COVID shutdowns. I believe I speak on behalf of the entire council when I say we are concerned for our restaurants and businesses, said Normal Mayor Chris Coos. The current restrictions will make it difficult for some to survive. Since the start of the pandemic, our challenge has been balancing the health of our community with economic realities. Coos announced Monday during the Normal Town Council meeting a multi-pronged approach to tackling COVID-19 mitigation restrictions and support the local economy. I do not necessarily agree with how these mitigation decisions were made, and we want local businesses to survive and continue to be a strong part of our economy, he said. That means working with the Illinois Municipal League to encourage state officials to reevaluate metrics when issuing COVID shutdowns, encouraging people to limit exposures from private gatherings, and supporting local businesses, he said. During these shutdowns, delivery, or pick up curbside, said Coos. Dine local, spend local. Personally, I'm reaching out to state and federal legislators, encouraging additional stimulus packages to help our businesses. We want our restaurants to continue to be successful. Council member Karen Smith also said that people should continue to do their part and stay vigilant to prevent the spread of the virus. She said people can support local businesses while fighting the virus. This is not a Republican virus or a Democratic virus or a Libertarian virus or a Green Party virus, she said. It is a highly contagious airborne infection that spreads easily from one infected person to another. So far, the best tools we have are recommendations to wear a mask, keep social distance, and washing our hands frequently. Coos added that now is not the time for political grandstanding, and leaders must focus on finding solutions to help local businesses. Also, Normal is extending a recycling Dropbox program for an additional 2 months as town staff pursue an intergovernmental agreement for continuing the program. The Normal Town Council approved 6-1 a 2-month extension on an agreement with Midwest Fiber Recycling for continuation of its Dropbox recycling program. Next, we have Eric West, named Interim Bloomington Fire Chief, by Annalisa Trofimek. Deputy Chief Eric West will serve as Bloomington's Interim Fire Chief. The city announced Monday that West, who has been with the department for nearly 30 years, will move into his new role on November 16th. Chief Brian Moore is retiring. It was an easy choice for me to have Eric step right in and serve in this longer-term interim role, City Manager Tim Gleason said in a statement. His years of experience, community relationships, and sound knowledge of both local needs and national trends make him a great choice to lead the department during this time. West served as battalion chief before becoming deputy chief of operations in November 2015. He holds a bachelor's degree in occupational safety from Illinois State University and has experience in fire operations, emergency and hazardous materials management, disaster response, and fire safety. West has also served as a hazmat field instructor for the Illinois Fire Institute since June 2003. The city will conduct a nationwide search for its next fire chief, with internal staff conducting the search after the first of the year. Lions Club Food Drive Set. The Normal Lions Club is holding a food drive to benefit the Center for Hope Outreach Ministries in Bloomington. The drive-up and drop-off, Hunger Doesn't Take a Break for the Holidays benefit, will run from 10 a.m. to noon November 14th at the Center for Hope at 1308 East Empire Street in Bloomington. Food needs to include boxed goods such as potatoes, pasta, helper meals, flavored rice, and macaroni and cheese. Canned goods including evaporated milk, chicken, tuna, salmon, vegetables, fruit soups, snack crackers, peanut butter, and jelly. Household items needed include cleaning and sanitizer supplies, aluminum foil paper, paper and plastic plates, aluminum baking pans, toilet paper, dish detergent, laundry supplies, shampoo, conditioner, dental supplies, deodorant, shaving supplies, bath soap, and shower gel. This concludes the first part of the Panograph for Tuesday, November 3rd, 2020. I'm Janice Schweizer, and I will return shortly with the second half.